Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
What does Aldo's mama say?
Matt Nagy, take the Bears to the Super Bowl and my body will be yours forever and ever and forever. Call me.
That is what Aldo's mama said.
Yeah, oh yeah,
oh.
Yeah, yeah, na na na. A Bears ballroom, they're the ones that fight for truth. Bears are alive or 100 proof, even if the Bears win or lose. A Bears ballroom, they're the ones that fight for truth. Bears are alive or 100 proof, no matter if the Bears win or lose.
Great run up the sideline, can he be caught? No! Maul hit from behind.
Well, he had a pretty solid run there. He stiff-armed a guy, made a nice, got around that corner, and then he put on the Jets. And that's for as big as he is, to run down the sideline like he did and protect the football. That was good for him. So anytime you have a big play like that, you catch the coach's eyes. But we're always going to look for what else is he doing right and what's he doing wrong. So, he's going to get some opportunities here to see what he can do, and we'll move around and do some different things with him. But that was good for him.
Fans, this is a special Bears 100 proof, and you just heard Bears head coach Matt Nagy talk about running back Ryan Nall's performance in the team's second preseason game. Nall's 9-carry, 96-yard performance caught the attention of all Bears fans, but the truth is that some people here at the barroom had their focus on Nall as soon as he was signed as an undrafted free agent. And I'm happy to announce that Nall will be our guest on this special edition of Bears 100 Proof. Hey, my name is Aldo Gandia. I serve the drinks here, but don't you worry. Most of the stars of our nightclub act are here. Draft Dr. Fullatoshin will take the lead in the Nall interview. Danny Shimon will step in for Shane Marsaw, who is taking care of some business. And of course, seated at the best booth in the house is Bears Girl, scouring the internet for breaking news. And in fact, that's where we're going to begin. Bears Girl, the Bears had a night practice at Bourbon A on Saturday night, and there's some injury news to report. What do you have?
They indeed did. After practice, Coach Matt Nagy looked a little flustered as he delivered his first significant injury report. Four players left practice with injuries. The extent of those injuries is not known at this time, as we are recording early Sunday morning. Let's listen to the coach as he delivers the bad news.
Yep. So Prince ended up having a quad. Oh no, groin. I'm sorry. We got so many guys hurt right now. I'm just trying to figure. Do you want to know right or left? Because I don't know.
Huh?
Yeah, it's his groin. Okay. Yeah. So how about that?
Wims tonight and Cooper.
Yeah, Wims just had a quad, and then Cooper had a contusion. I can tell you those just happened.
Also hurt was a Benny Cunningham with a shoulder injury, and linebacker Josh Woods suffered a finger injury, and it was placed in a cast. Nagy didn't give any significant details on the injuries other than to say Woods would be out for a while. Now, this is interesting. After the practice, the Bears signed former Kansas City Chiefs running back Nile Davis. The Bears did have a roster spot open because earlier in the day, they had released offensive lineman Caleb Johnson. Nagy saw Davis firsthand for three seasons at Kansas City when he was the quarterback's coach. The Bears' backfield looks this way now. Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, Taquan Mizell, the injured Benny Cunningham, Nile Davis, and the man of the hour, Ryan Nall.
That's right. Nall is the man of the hour. And before we roll that interview, which we conducted Friday night, I want to pull something out of our archives, Bears Girl. I know that Draft Dr. Phil hates it when we go back and pull sound that shows him to be right on player evaluations.
Oh, he's going to be so mad.
Oh, yeah. He is just going to say, why are you embarrassing me this way? So I'm going to apologize to the doctor right here, right now. But back on April 29th, the day after the draft was completed, we did a three-hour extravaganza, which we had on a who's who list of draft evaluators. One of those guys was Emory Hunt. He, the doctor, and Danny Shimon had this to say about Ryan Nall, who had been signed as an undrafted free agent.
The kid, Ryan Nall from Oregon State.
You know, we've talked to, we've interviewed him at the combine, and I told him this flat out. Like, dude, if you were black, you'd be talked about like in the day two, you know, third round range, because you don't find guys, you know, at 6'2", 230 with that level of production coming out of a really good pro
program
offense and at Oregon State. And he has the ability to help you out as a kickoff returner. He has the ability to catch the football. He got good speed. You know, he's a big guy that runs 4.5. You know, that's what you want. You know, and this dude, I mean, to be honest, he graded out as my 15th running back. I gave him a 71.5 grade, which puts him as a productive starter. So the Bears got a steal.
I'm excited about this kid. I mean, talk about his size to speed. I mean, there's a couple runs in there. He's out running corners and the safety having the angle at 233 pounds. Emery?
A lot of people will look at it and say, oh, he's going to be a fullback. And we joked about it at the combine. He was like, yeah, you know, some teams already asked me to move to fullback. I'm like, unbelievable. You know, the fact of the matter is, like, you got more natural running skills and balance and burst than guys that they are hyping up, like a Bo Scarborough, who honestly got, who, you know, funny enough, got drafted to the Cowboys. But Nall is going to be a really good football player.
But I also think you can use Nall as that H-back type of athlete to get a mismatch with Howard and him in the backfield with two big athletes like this. I don't think people realize after the draft, players are found. So this kid I'm excited about.
It was love at first sight for some keen draft evaluators, including our own draft Dr. Phil and friend of the show, Emery Hunt, who you should be following on Twitter.
At FBallGamePlan is where you can find Emery.
Did you already have that handy? Because I screwed up the last 100 proof show and forgot to ask our guest Paige DeMacos what her Twitter handle is.
At the _ sports page. And you probably didn't ask Ryan either, did you? He can be found at RyanNall34. Mike North, didn't ask him either, did you? He can be found at North to North.
Greg Gabriel?
At Greg Gabe.
You know all these by heart?
Pretty much.
Fantasy Football Goon?
At FFB Goon.
Bears barroom writer and art expert for the TV show Pawn Stars, Brett Maley.
One of my favorites, at Bear N Desert.
Niall Davis.
He can be found at Booby, B-O-O-B-I-E _ Niall, K-N-I-L-E.
Oh my goodness, my mom.
Yep, she can be found at Aldo _ Mama.
Ah, no, my mom doesn't have a Twitter handle. Ah, gotcha.
Oh, she sure does, and she just DM'd me the following. My son won't call or follow me on Twitter. What a loser.
That's the nicest thing she's ever said about me. Okay, mommy, perdóname. I'm going to call her right now, and let's get to this interview with Ryan Nall. I think you're going to like it. Welcome to the Bears Barroom, Ryan. Let me introduce who you're talking to. My name is Aldo Gandia, and also with me is draft Dr. Phil Atoshin. He is a coach and player scout, and Danny Shimon, also a scout. We all are members of the Barroom. They are the football experts and analysts. I just am here to dial you up and laugh whenever there's a good joke and so forth. So first of all, I want to say to you, Ryan, congratulations yesterday on a tremendous game. You showed the football world your ability to rush the ball and do other things on the football field. So let me ask the first question, and then I'll let draft Dr. Phil and Danny come in here and talk football with you. My first question for you is, how are you feeling now about, 24 hours almost after your tremendous performance?
Still a little banged up, but other than that, I feel pretty good. You know, it was a physical game, and I was excited to get out there and get after it. And, you know, I felt worse after games before, and I certainly felt better. So, you know, last night was a fun night, and, you know, we just got to continue to grow and build off of it.
How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm so excited for you because through the draft process, and that's really where I want to start with you, to go back there. I hate to go back before we go forward, but
I was a big fan of yours. In fact, I was shocked that you didn't get drafted. Take us back to that draft day. Were teams calling you? What was your understanding going into the draft and how things worked out? And then follow that up with why did you choose the Bears?
My understanding going into the draft was that I was going to be a third day kind of guy, four through seven. And there were a few teams that were, constantly calling me and asking how I was doing and talking to me and telling me, I think you'd be a good fit here, this and that. And got a few phone calls the day of telling me, hey, if you're still on the board at this point, we're probably going to draft you. So make sure you keep lines open, this and that. And, draft rolls around, I wait around and I'm not getting anything. And then all of a sudden the free agency calls start coming in and the recruiting process starts coming in. Draft ends and my phone gets bombarded by the Bears coaching staff. First it was one of the scouts, then it was Coach London, then it was Coach Helfrich, then it was Coach Nagy, they told me straight up that they want me to play running back, which is what I wanted to be and what my dream was and what my goals were. So and they basically just gave me the best offer that compared to other teams that nobody else really had. So when it came down to it, I knew that, knowing Coach Nagy and that at, Kansas City last year in the offense that they ran and how effective they use the running back, I thought that'd be a good spot for me. I have a little bit of history with Coach Helfrich, and I know he's a great guy. So when it came down to it, I just felt like this is the right place for me.
Now, speaking of running back, we got a guy on the phone that me and Mr. Shimon went at it last night after the game. And I'm going to let Danny come in here to defend himself. But I'm very adamant throughout the draft process, throughout your practice and the video that I've been able to see, and obviously what you've put on tape already, that you are a running back. And I could hear it in your voice, the pride you take in that. Danny believes, and I'll let him speak on it, that you could be a fullback in the NFL and you're not a running back. And I hate to put you in this situation, but I'm on your side. Bias.
Let me state my
case. Go ahead.
Ryan, again, thanks again for joining the bar room and taking time to talk to us. So talking last night with Phil after your big game, having studied you, scouted you coming out of college, I know you play a little bit H-back, you played some fullback, and, your sophomore or junior, they switched over to running back. So and I know your dream is to play running back. I was just curious. See, I project you more coming out of the draft as a fullback, a guy who could play some H-back, maybe some split out, some tight end. So I was curious, did other scouts approach you from other teams and ask you if you want to play fullback, or did they see you as a fullback or an H-back? Or I know the Bears said they wanted you to play running back, but were other teams also interested in you as a running back or / fullback?
Yeah, I've had a couple, of both. A couple of teams that said they would draft me said that they wanted me at running back, and a couple of them also said that they want me at H-back / fullback. And they were asking if I was willing to make that position change. So I've had both, positions thrown at me and teams seeing me as different positions. And, obviously I told them that, if you want to draft me, of course I'll be willing to make the switch. But, at the end of the day, my heart and soul is at running back. And, I know nothing else. Like, I've played that basically my whole life. I played running back and linebacker, basically since fourth grade up until my senior year. So, but the answer is, the question, there were a couple teams that asked me if I would be willing to, and they saw me as that. But there are also other teams as well, besides the Bears, that saw me as a running back.
I see you as a running back, brother. And I'm not blowing smoke up your ass right here on this show. We keep it 100 proof, and I respect Danny's opinion, but I think he's 100% wrong. And I'll tell you why. Because what you did the other night, I don't care who you're going up against. Those guys are fighting just like you are to make a roster. And you can't teach innate instincts, speed bursts, and the hands and everything that you have. Now, versatility can put you in positions. As you were lined up at wide receiver in the game, right. you're able to do that because clearly you have the athleticism. And again, I don't know who has trumpeted your name more than me out there in Bears land, but now after last night, everybody's trumpeting, and that's fine. I want this success. And at the end of the day, hopefully you come back on and tell Danny where to go, because you're going to be running for the Bears at tailback. I think you're the perfect complement to what Jordan Howard is. I just had to say that because you're here. I want people to know that, yeah, Danny's not wrong. You can do so much because of your amazing attributes. Let me say this to you, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Anytime a rival coach maybe goes somewhere else, it could be to another level like the college or like Helfrich going into the NFL, and he's a part of the process of getting you to his football team and his philosophy, I think that's the ultimate compliment. Did that weigh in your decision to go to the Bears?
Yeah, definitely. If you did your homework on me and know a little bit of history between me and Coach Helfrich, him at Oregon, me at Oregon State, I had my best games against Oregon. My freshman year, I rushed for 170, and then my sophomore year, rushed for 150. And then unfortunately, coaching staff changed at Oregon, so we weren't able to get that third season against each other. He knows what I'm capable of, and I think that had a big part in it, because I knew that there's a reason why they were trying to get me so heavily to go with them. And I think that he had a big part of that, and I know that as well. And I know that Coach Helfrich, his offensive mindset, it would be something that could be used to find advantages.
Hey Ryan, I know Coach Riley had ran a semi-pro style system, had some split back formations, also some I formations as well in it, and also obviously some shotgun as well. So are you comfortable in either formation as far as taking the ball? Whether it's of course the Bears do a lot of shotgun now. It doesn't look like it bothers you. I'm just curious. So which one is there, one or the other one that you prefer? Either grabbing the ball from in a shotgun formation or an I formation or split backs, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm probably more comfortable out of shotgun because I've been in that offense basically throughout my high school and college career. I was with Coach Riley for that first season, and I redshirted, so I got to get that offensive pro style under my belt a little bit. But I would usually just go over to scout team that redshirt year, so I didn't have too much experience under center until I got here, and it took me a couple reps to get used to under center, not being able to quite see the backside as much as you can, because you have a quarterback in the way. But it's something that I'm growing and I'm getting better at, and I'm able to see the hole, and I'm able to see my vision, and be able to make a quick decision and hit the hole hard. And but like I said, I'd probably be more comfortable with shotgun, because I feel like I'm able to see the entire front, the entire defense in front of me, and be able to make my read just that much quicker.
I put a call in to a buddy of mine, offensive line coach Mike Cavanaugh. He was there. You were a red shirt.
Yep.
Nothing but praise for you, the person and the worker, the growth and the maturity, and just great words about you and the determination to be the best. How, take us back to the Hall of Fame game. Clearly, obviously, every time you put on that orange C and the helmet and everything, the history is involved, but your first live NFL reps, what was it like out there? Obviously, the electricity with the Bears fans, because Brian Urlacher's going in the Hall of Fame. So, but what was it like for Ryan Nall to get to that point?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a legitimately dream come true. Like, I've been saying ever since I was a kid, I want to play in the NFL or the NBA. Unfortunately, I'm not 6'6", so NFL was the best route for me. And you know, that was my first NFL game ever. I've never been to one. I've never watched
a
game live. I've only seen them on TV. So, I was a little bit taken back, but at the same time, you know, the competitor in me was ready to go. And I have kind of put that oohs and ahs, you know, aside and realized that we got a game in front of us. We got to get going here. So, I took it in. I lived in the moment, and I appreciated the history and the Hall of Fame game and all that comes with it. And, when it was time to roll, I was ready to roll.
We heard bits and pieces of Brian Urlacher's pregame speech to you guys. How was that to see Urlacher, a Bears legend and a guy who's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, give you guys a pregame speech there?
Yeah, that was awesome. You know, I felt like he kind of gave it from a player's perspective because he understands, you know, how we're fighting and what we're doing, what trying to make the roster, guys, you know, being here first time, you know, coming from free agents, stuff like that. And he understands the pregame jitters and the fact that we have an extra game than everybody else. So he kind of talked to us as a player instead of, you know, a former player coming in trying to hype you up. You know, he just kept it real with us and just wished us the best of luck. And you know, he was really just thankful for us because of the legacy that he built, and now that we're honoring him, he was just so thankful.
Ryan, let me jump in with a question that is a hook to that. When you entered Hallis Hall and you saw the history of this franchise, and Coach Matt Nagy shared with you and your teammates about the history of the Chicago Bears, describe for us the feeling that went through you as you learned about the history, you heard about the history, and you were engulfed and surrounded by the history of this proud franchise.
Yeah, I was almost completely blown away because I didn't know that Chicago was the first, you know, franchise. I didn't realize that. And when Coach Nagy was describing the history and we're learning about it and stuff, I was kind of taken back. And like, I had to realize for a second that I'm a part of the oldest franchise in NFL history right now. I'm a part of something that many, many people will never, ever get to be a part of. And, you know, it's humbling and it's an honor to be a part of this. And I just wanted to, you know, let everybody know and let the coaches know, fans know, even my own family know that I'm just going to give them my all no matter what. And Coach Nagy says the best all the time. You know, you don't want to have any regrets out here. And, you know, with what I know now, with the history and all that comes with being a Chicago Bear, I definitely am not going to leave any regrets on that season.
Take me back last night. You're running inside zone, innate instinct to find the cutback, bounce it. You put on the speed burst. I was so proud of you. And I don't even know you. I was so proud and happy for you. But then the next day you tweeted out your own critique of yourself because you kind of critiqued your gait. Like if you ran harder, you would have scored because that's kind of, you know what I'm saying? I know I've been there. I was that back, not to talk about me, that would break it, but get caught. I just didn't have that burst. But I think you have that burst to score. And I think you were legitimately pissed about it, but the instincts of that run and what did it feel like? Just take us through the whole play.
So it was just a basic inside zone out of shotgun. Mm-hmm. And the snap was a little bit high. So it kind of had to slow my tempo down. And I saw kind of the backers collapse on that. So I think they thought it was going over his head and they were just going to, you know, try to rush it. But Tyler did a good job getting the ball and getting it into me. And when I saw that, I just, you know, I kind of saw the cutback and saw the backer, you know, squeezing down, and I knew I could try to get outside of that because there was nobody out there, and I just put a stiff arm on him, and just I hit the corner. I saw nothing but green grass, and I just kept trying to run as fast as I could, and all of a sudden I felt a little tug on my on my jersey, and next thing I knew I was eating turf. But I think if it was, you know, a first quarter run or a second quarter run, a little bit fresher legs instead of coming off of special teams, I think I might have had it. But, you know, who knows? We'll see what happens.
I want to ask about Coach Nagy. I know we've heard a lot of, you know, good things, and he seems a cool, calm, and collected. We've heard the, you know, swaggy Nagy stuff. But yesterday he was getting on you guys. So he's got a switch, right? It appears like when he wants to get on you guys, he can let it go.
He is a very competitive and emotional person when it comes to his game, because he loves it, you know, with all his heart. And, you know, when he sees, you know, mistakes and mental breakdowns, things that are within our control, it's frustrating. And I get it. As a competitor, as a player, I understand where he's coming from. And because, you know, we all know that we can do better. And that's the thing where it's just so frustrating, because we know how good we can be. We know how great that our offense can be if we all do, all 11 of us do the right job. And you know, when things aren't going our way, I think, you know, Coach Nagy yesterday got on us a little bit, and he challenged us. He wanted to put some fire under our butts and try to get us motivated, because I think that was, you know, his way of trying to get to us, because he, like, you know, like you said, Swaggy Nagy, cool, calm, and collected. You know, you can only be cool, calm, and collected so long before, you know, you have to change it up, or you have to try something else. And I think that, you know, it worked in a sense, because he challenged us, and we came back as an offense and we fought back and we were able to start to execute.
While we're on the topic of coaches, tell us a little bit about your running backs coach, Charles London. This is his first year as running backs coach after being an offensive assistant with the Bears from 2007 to 2009. What's it like working with Charles London? And if you could share with us any one particular thing that has resonated with you that has made you a better pro football player.
Coach London is a great coach, very knowledgeable and very, you know, supportive as well. You know, he doesn't like to focus on the negatives. You know, we do something wrong, we critique it, but then we move on. So we're always moving forward, and I like that a lot about him. You know, one thing that, you know, helped me with being a professional, you know, football player is that he knows not only the running back position, but he knows the entire offense, and he helps with us. You know, with me personally, as well as the other running backs in the room, you know, try to learn the entire offense as well as the defense. You know, going over coverages, going over fronts, going over certain techniques that the defense do when they're trying not to show a blitz, or when they are showing a blitz, you know, how the safeties are aligned, things like that. He's very knowledgeable when it comes to that. And, you know, moving up to the next level, it helped me, you know, become just even more better a professional athlete.
Ryan, if you will, there's a guy in front of you. Chicago can't have nice things, we say on this show. And there's an elite running back in the backfield. And I know you're competing for the job, but in competition, it breeds success. And you look at this guy, Jordan Howard. Talk about him, the player, and what you see, and talk about him as the person for our fan base here.
Oh, definitely. You know, Jordan Howard is one of the best backs in the league, no doubt. And, you know, I come in here and he fuels me to be the best, because I know, you know, if I can compete with him, I can compete with anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, the way he moves for his size and how swift he can move is impressive. And I love that about his game. And I love that, you know, he's got, you know, a little bit of both physicality and you know, some shiftiness to him. And mm-hmm. I think that it bodes well with how he plays. And, you know, I like to learn from him as well in that aspect as too. Because there are times where, you know, he could try to run somebody over, but instead he might make a move on something where I could see that and I could say, okay, maybe that's how the defenders think. Maybe I'll run through him. But instead I come in with a, you know, with a head bob, a little juke move, and then it gets him thinking. So he, in that aspect, you know, his athletic ability and the way he plays the game inspires me for sure. And him as a person, he's a real laid back guy, and you know, he keeps to himself. And I think that that's just who he is. You know, he's not like Tariq Cohen, who's always out there dancing and always out there making backflips and doing a whole bunch of stuff like that. You know, he's pretty quiet and keeps to himself. And you know, he says what's up and asks how you're doing. And you know, I think he's just a real good guy.
Does he talk to you? Does he help you?
Yeah, for sure. If you see something on tape and you know, think that it could be corrected or I could have done something better, or if I did something good, he'll, you know, say, you know, good job, or hey, maybe try it like this, or you know, you can do something here to help better for the, you know, something like along those lines. But you know, he's, like I said, he's kind of real quiet, so it doesn't happen mm-hmm. too often. But when it does, you know that he cares. So,
right.
All right, Ryan, so here's a hard-hitting question. You mentioned Tariq Cohen. Who's the biggest trash talker between Tariq Cohen and Anthony Miller? I heard those two guys are yapping all the time during practice.
Oh, that's a good one. Oof.
They say that the talk between Miller and Eddie Jackson are epic on practice field.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, Anthony, he's always talking, but you can't really tell sometimes because his voice is so deep and so low. Sometimes it's like he's even talking, but you see his head bobbing, and you can't really hear him from afar. But with Tariq, he's so loud you can hear him from all the way across the field. No problem. But I don't know, man. I'll probably have to say it's a draw between the two.
Wow, okay.
And cool. Ryan, how are you in that fine art of trash talking? Do you engage in that particular art, or do you just stay away from it and go about your job?
Yeah, I just kind of go about my job. I let my game do the talking. And, you know, so far it's worked out pretty well for me.
And have you started to design touchdown dances so when you make your NFL debut and get into the end zone and do something special, or is that something that's just going to come, that something that you're going to improvise?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I might come up with it the day of, or I might have something planned for you guys. I guess we'll just have to find out.
Awesome.
Our boy Phil here, he's a singer songwriter. So if you make the Bears, I think Phil, you're gonna make him a song.
Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
It's gonna be a Ryan Nall song.
There you go.
I have the Kyle Long song. We haven't released it, Ryan. I have Iggy Abunawe song. And who else do I have in regards to, well, I have some other songs that were breaking a few players' chops for Christmas song that I won't tell you about. But obviously, my boy Ryan Nall's song is going to be a hard hitter because that's what he does. I mean, if you look at Ryan, what are you? You're six. You're listed at 6'2". What's your actual height? I went to Hofstra. I'm 5'7½". I was 5'10" in the media guide. So what's your height exactly?
I like to say 6'3" in shoes and 6'2¼" in flat footed.
There you go. So you are a legitimate 6'2", 6'3" in cleats, yeah. Aldo. So this is a big boy at 237 pounds running. I know you're up and down clearly because of the heat index over there in Bourbonnais and going out in practice and whatever, but this is a big man. Jordan Howard's a big man. You look at the roster, there's not many other big men. And Ryan, his speed and athleticism and his instincts and his hands. I mean, I saw you catch that football. I've been watching Chicago Bears football for almost, what, I'm 45 now, so about 39 years. Watching these guys, this football team. So when I saw you catch the ball and you did a speed turn without gathering or hesitating, is that something you're coached up on, especially for your size, to be able to turn and get and just speed turn and get up the football field? It was just so natural. It popped out to me. And unfortunately, our colleague, Shane, the smartest man in the bar room, Marsaw, couldn't be here tonight. He's also a big fan of yours and your versatility. We both were like, look at Nall. Oh, look at that catch. So, you know, you probably watched the film today. Coach London, was he amped up about that? And do they coach it up like that in this offense where you're doing without the gather and you're just speed turning?
Yeah, there's certain plays and certain routes that we have to run where you do gather and you break out immediately, and somewhere you don't. And, sometimes it comes naturally to me and other times it doesn't. You know, sometimes it's just depending on how, which route it is and which play it is. But for me, normally, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield and running routes is just normal for me because growing up, like I said, I play running back and, you know, on high school teams, you kind of play everywhere. So I played a little bit of receiver. I played, you know, even a little bit tight end ish in high school, where I'd have to, you know, I line up as a tight end, but I'd always run the route. I wouldn't necessarily have to block. So, you know, I'll run routes is normal for me. And I just feel comfortable doing it and catching the ball. It's just something I'm always used to. So it's not necessarily, you know, something I have to think about. It's just something that I just do.
You know, if you make the team, you're going to be a backup, and backups usually have to play special teams. Now, at Oregon State, you know, you're the starting running back. Did you play any special teams at Oregon State?
I did my freshman year. Most, you know, I think three out of four. And then when they deemed me the starter, they took me off. So I had just under a year under my belt on special teams. So this is fairly new to me, especially with, you know, the level of competition and how fast these guys are. But I know that, you know, that's my ticket to the field, and that's my way onto this roster as well.
Ryan, my question for you is, when you sit down at night and put your head to the pillow, what do you dream about? What is it about the NFL and being with the Chicago Bears? What is it that you want to accomplish so that 10, 15 years from now, when your NFL career is over, what is it that you hope you would have accomplished?
A whole bunch of stuff. You know, winning the Super Bowl, you know, being the franchise player, you know, being big show, big lights, being on TV and all over the place, being the guy. But, you know, that's got to come with, first things first, you got to pick the team first. So, you know, I dream big, you know, when I think about that stuff, but, you know, I like to think I'm a realistic person. So I gotta realize that, you know, to do that, I got to put in the work now. So, you know, I love to think that one day I'll be in the spotlight and everybody will know my name and you know, I'll be kind of the guy. But in order to do so, I gotta be able to put in the work now and grind it out, so that way I can get myself to that point and put myself in the position to be the guy. So
if you don't dream big, you have no place to go. And that
exactly
is what I always told my players as well. So I'm proud to hear you say that. I saw you on special teams. I saw you have a tackle on special teams against Cincinnati. I saw number 35.
Oh, yeah.
So what was it like running down there? How do you feel about that? And I don't want to say, I don't want to give anybody a scouting report on you. So after the special teams, I want to, you just tell me one thing you know you need to improve on.
In terms of special teams or just overall?
No, like just overall. I talked about the special teams, and then just give me that one thing in Chicago as the running back that you are,
right,
that you need to improve on.
Yeah, so the special teams is something else. You know, it's crazy running down there full speed, guys coming at you flying every which way, and mm-hmm. you got to keep your head on a swivel because you never know if someone's going to take you out. yesterday, that was my first, that was one of the, you know, I've had in my college career, I had two tackles, and they both came off of pick sixes last year. So yesterday, that was my third tackle since high school.
So,
getting back into it, it's kind of fun, you know, it brought me back to playing defense and making tackles and making plays, and it was a lot of fun. So, yeah, and in terms of, you know, one thing that I think I need to improve on is, you know, I like to think that, you know, I can always improve on, you know, reading defense, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. You know, for some people, you know, who don't know or who listen to this, you know, what kind of fronts they're in, what kind of zone or line alignment are safeties in, you know, just being able to pick up on that stuff quicker, so I can be able to read the holes better, to be able to read the defense better, to be able to see the fronts and be able to determine whether or not a blitz is going to come. You know, I think that mm-hmm. if I can improve on those things, it'll help me play the game faster, which and overall will help me become a better back.
Absolutely. Let me ask you off of that, the technology that in today's, how much of that is in the playbook of, you know, what do they give you, Surface Pros, because that's the sponsor, and you're going through this in the dorm at night, studying this in those fronts? Do they give you screenshots or is it movies? How does that portray to you guys?
Yeah. So for, you know, in terms of the playbook, Coach Maggie's kind of old school. We got a big old binder
Really?
It looks like a medical textbook. It's really big. It's huge.
So you're flipping with the X's and O's and everything?
Oh, yeah. Yep. With the X's and O's. And I got the highlighter and the pens and all that good stuff.
Oh, where's DG? She'd be in her glory.
Our producer, Bears Girl, is a highlighter fan. So you and her have something in common.
But in terms of watching films and stuff, we got the iPads that they gave us, and that has literally, video, freeze frames, pictures, X's and O's draws up on there. So they have everything that we need to, so I can be in here to study and help me continue to grow with that stuff.
Very cool. I gotta ask this question, and it's really more of a thought, Ryan, because I've been following the Chicago Bears since I was 10 years old, no, about 9 or 8 years old, late 1960s. I live and breathe with this team. I'm a diehard Chicago Bears fan. The rest of my week is determined by the level of performance of the Chicago Bears. I can deal with a loss, but if they look terrible playing, then, don't be around me. I tell my family, just give me some space, go away, and so forth. And so what I want to share with you is that this city and these fans, people like me, people like Draft Dr. Phil, people like Danny Shimon, people like the thousands of people who listen to this podcast, we are so devoted to the Chicago Bears. And when you joined the family, you became a part of our family. Mm-hmm. And we are so much looking forward to you becoming a member of the team, becoming a huge contributor. And we would love to see you fulfill those dreams that you talked about when you hit your pillow, to be a feature back, to win Super Bowls, to be the center of attention. So, having said that, is that too much pressure for you?
Not at all. Not at all. There's a reason why I'm here, and that's all part of it. I can't wait to be a part of something special, like you mentioned. I know how much this city loves this team. Win or lose, a draw, it doesn't matter. They're always going to have their back. And it kind of reminds me of back in college. The fans at Oregon State were so faithful. We went 1-11 last year, and second to last game of the season, the stadium was almost packed. And I got that same kind of vibe here in Chicago. I know that last year wasn't necessarily the best record, but I went out to practice day before the game, and when it's open practices like that, they're always full. People are always out there yelling at you, trying to get your attention, trying to get your autographs, and just there to support you. And I love every second of it. And I'm just so thankful and humbled to be a part of this.
Awesome.
It's awesome to see you out there. Ryan, I mean, you have to be ecstatic for what you put on tape and what you're doing. And Aldo's right. There's something special about you, and we are pulling for you. Trust me. I can't be more happy for where you are, but there is an elephant in the room. And
are you talking about Danny?
No. No. Growing up, Ryan, I was a tailback, all-state tailback, and the whole nine recruited. So I went through the Caucasian persuasion. I know that's hard, because now you get to this level of the NFL and you can count on two hands the amount of tailbacks in the last how many years that are white dudes going out there and doing it. So you're already, no matter what anyone says, and we keep it 100 here, I'm talking because I know this. So fans, other coaches, scouts, GMs, there is a bias towards you that you're having to combat because people like Danny just want to move you to fullback. Unfortunately.
Oh, I was a cheap shot.
But it's the truth. And yeah, listen, we had a friend of our show.
It's not because he's white. It's not because he's white.
I know. I'm just joking with you on that. But that there are people, and Ryan knows it. You could choose not to answer this if it's too controversial. This is 100 proof. we always tell the truth on this. I'll speak for him if he wants. But Emery Hunt, who's a black dude and one of my great friends and a trusted eye, slammed the table beyond anyone, including myself, about you on this show draft day, saying this kid is a running back, not only versatile, but he's going to shock Chicago. And so far, Emery gets to pat himself on the back because he's right. You are a running back, man. And if you can't say yes or no, just talk about what that is to get over that hurdle of bias. And look where you are in the NFL, and the Bears saw you as a running back. How does that feel, and what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, you know, not, I'm aware of the fact that I am a big, you know, Caucasian male playing a position as primarily, you know, African American, and you know, I'm not naive about it. I understand that there are certain stereotypes and things that come with it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been the battle my entire life, and I don't like to think about those things. I like to think that, you know, doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, color your skin, background, doesn't matter. If you can play, you can play. And
exactly.
You know, I like to think that and have that be kind of my motto and my MO, and try to motivate me as well. And you know, they're like the stereotypes that that I kind of harped on, and the fact that you know, as you said as well, you know, oh, big white, you can just play fullback and
mm-hmm.
and you know, use them in this aspect and do something else, have someone else, and then but you know, the way I like to think of it is why can't I do the same things as everybody else? You know, it's not better. Yeah, I'm maybe 6'3", 237 pounds, but I can make somebody miss in the hole, and I can make somebody miss an open field, and then on top of it, I can outrun you in the open field.
Exactly.
So, you know, I don't like to think, you know, I try not to think of it in that way. You know, I just
but
like
does
to think
it, myself does it, as does, a it mo- so. Does it motivate you though in any way? Because this was the cherry for me. Coach Nagy's always preaching, be you. And yeah. He cares about the undrafted guy. He's not blowing smoke to the media that he was that guy. He was you. You know what I'm saying? So did that motivate you to come to Chicago, that not only did they see you as a running back, but you knew that here's this coach who was an undrafted and he was telling you, and I'm sure that was one of the selling points. You could tell me if I'm wrong, that listen, everybody's got a shot to play here. The competition is going to decide who plays.
Yeah, definitely. he says it all the time, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. You can play, you can play. That, you know, one of the perfect example is in terms of effort. You know, he'd rather have the slower, more unathletic person who's giving it 100% every single play mm-hmm. than the most talented person in the world who half-asses it the entire time, you know, or doesn't know what he's doing. So in that aspect, that's kind of what drew me to Chicago and Coach Nagy is that aspect of how he cares and he wants people who basically have the want to factor. And, you know, I use that as motivation to keep driving me and keep pushing me, because I always tell myself there's someone that would kill to be in my spot right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow.
Yep.
Powerful, man.
Go ahead. Hey, Ryan. I know you started a year of eligibility left at Oregon State and you decided to enter the draft early. I was just curious what went into that decision. Was it just the personal reasons, or you just felt like it was time for you to go, or did you get any sort of promises from NFL teams that you would get drafted in terms of by the advisory committee?
I went through basically the entire that month of December, you know, because we didn't make a bowl game. So once we had our final game in November, we were on Christmas break, and you know, it took me up until till New Year's to make a decision. I spent the entire month, you know, trying to gather as much information as I can. Talking with, you know, our new head coach, you know, John Smith at Oregon State, and talking with some of my coaches who played in the NFL, who have contact in the NFL, who were receiving feedback. And I just took the time that I needed to see what was best for me, whether it was worth coming back for another year and potentially getting hurt and potentially not increasing my stock. And I just came down to the decision that it was best for me at that time to move on and to draft.
Ryan, it's Friday night, and you've been very, very generous with your time.
Oh, my God, yes.
What I'd like to do is just ask Phil and Danny each for their final question to you. Let me begin with Phil, and then Danny can ask the last question.
Honestly, Ryan, I'm all out of questions. I just have a comment. The champion inside someone emerges in adversity, and the things that you spoke on were powerful. And I didn't mean to put you on any spot. I totally believe in you. You have a show, Bears Barroom Radio, of guys that have talked about you all throughout the off season leading up, and believing in the football player you are. And all I wanted to say personally, now that we have you on the show, is I'm just there for you, hoping that you just take this baton and carry it to the finish line, because I believe you have the talent to be a running back and to go to wherever you want to go. And I so thank you for your generous time. Like Aldo said, you're an NFL player. You just played the other night, biggest game probably of your life, probably, and trying to make this football team. And not only did you do something spectacular, you continue to impress me on special teams and catching the football. And I can't say enough about you. So hopefully you follow Draft Dr. Phil back on Twitter. That's where I comment. And follow the Bears Barroom. You have loyal fans called Barflies that have been like, please get this guy on with Phil. He loves this guy. He's talked about him all. So all the best to you. Do you, be you, and I believe the dream that you've dreamt is coming true. And your words tonight really hit home for me. I could be, if this was a job interview, Aldo, I'd be hiring this guy.
And Ryan, I think you just got a hint of the song that Draft Dr. Phil is going to write about too.
It's going to be a great song, so you got to make the team, Ryan.
All right, man. I appreciate that. Thank you for those kind words, and I really appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, Danny, quick question, and then I'm going to let Ryan go.
Yeah, just kind of piggyback off of Phil. Ryan, thanks a lot for being gracious with your time tonight. Whether you make a team as a fullback or running back, me and Phil will argue back and forth, but as long as you make the team, you get a chance to fulfill your dreams and you become an NFL player. And, we wish you the best of luck. Stay healthy and go out there and get them, man. Make that team. That song is going to be epic, by the way.
This guy is good. This guy is good at song making. There's no doubt about it. One of the things that I love about the game of sports is guys like you who are fighting for jobs, who are fighting to accomplish your dream. Most of us in the world are underdogs. Very few people walk around with that special gift where they're come out of the womb and they're ready to start playing football. You've worked hard to get to this place in the NFL. You find yourself with the greatest franchise in the National Football League. Again, we're pulling for you. We wish you nothing but the best, and you're always welcome to come to the Bears Barroom, unless, of course, you end up playing with the Green Bay Packers. Then it's a slightly different story.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been fun.
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan, you're the man. Ryan's following Draft Dr. Phil. Look at this guy.
Take care, Ryan.
Best of luck this
week.
Take care.
Bye now. Thank you. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
And for those wanting to find Ryan Nall on Twitter, again, it's at RyanNall34. That was a great interview that you guys had with him, and it's a special edition of 100 Proof, so we're only going to have two shout-outs. The first for the man of the hour, Ryan Nall himself, and the second goes to his agent, Sam Leaf, who was an absolute pleasure to deal with in getting this interview arranged. Thank you, Sam, for all of your time and patience with us.
This was fun getting together on Sunday, and then you're getting together with Draft Dr. Phil tomorrow night for Bears Are Alive. You got anything special in store?
We might. We're still putting together what that show is going to look like today.
Well, I'd be happy to come on and share with you stories from the past. And
I think we might keep you as a first-time caller, long-time listener, never to show up again.
My mom might want to come on. Wouldn't that be wild?
I would love to have your mom on. I'm sure her and Phil would talk for hours.
He's a fucking idiot.
Okay, well, besides those two shout-outs that he gave out, we got a shout-out. Ryan Nall did a shout-out. And then we're also going to close the show with some Bears fans giving some predictions for this upcoming season. So we have a handful, and if you want to send me your predictions, just DM me at Bears Barroom, and we'll figure out a way to record them, and we'll put them at the tail end of a future show before the season starts. We'd love to get your predictions up here at the Bears Barroom Radio Network. So, Bears Girl, why don't you say goodnight? I'll say goodnight, and then we'll roll those.
I'm going to say good morning and have yourself an awesome Sunday. We will see you all on Monday night.
Okay, and what I'll say is, remember, if you drink, please do not drive, and always bear down.
Bye.
A little fun fact about me is my roommate at Oregon State is from Chicago. He's from Orland Park. So give a shout out to my boy Yanni and the family at Purple Onion. If you guys listen to this, hello, how you guys doing?
I want to make love to you tonight. Call me.
Rob Van Kamen.
Rob, what is the Bears' 2018 record going to be and why?
Oof. That's a tough one. I'm going to go with 9-7, despite wanting to say 10-6. And the reason is because the defense is going to be good. There's a lot of continuity there, but the offense is going to need time to gel. They're going to score points, but it's not going to blow up like a lot of people think they are. And when you're a young, growing team, you're going to have those growing pains, and you're going to lose some of those tight ball games that could go one way or the other. So you're probably in that 7-9 to 10-6 range, which that's the difference between sometimes a great team and sometimes a team not making the playoffs. So 9-7.
Give me a hickey on my ass if you can do it.
My name is Chris Deline. Realistically, I think we're going to end up about 7-9. You got a new coach. As much as I'm high on Matt Nagy this year, I think it's going to take a little bit of time to gel, new system. They usually say it takes a few years for the new coordinator to click. I'm not thrilled about our depth at wide receiver when you're relying on a guy coming off a torn ACL, which, as much as I like Allen Robinson, I think the defense is going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be vastly improved over last year, which, you know, got us 5 wins. So I think we'll, you know, tough schedule early on, especially. I think, you know, if there's going to be any sort of growing pains, I think that's going to be tough to overcome in the long run. So I think 7-9 is probably about where we end up, as much as I'd like to say 10-6.
Why don't you come to my house and cut my toenails? They need to be done.
Anthony Jackson. Well, I say they'd be about 9-7, because the improvements they made on the offense, I think, are going to make a drastic change as to what they had last year in the offensive coordinator and the coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's going to make the change for them this year.
Fuck Jan Fox.